Welcome to the Lifeway Student Ministry Podcast. I'm your host, Ben Trueblood. With me today, as usual, is John Paul Basham.
Hello.
And with both of us, special guest Drew Dixon is here today.
Yeah.
So Drew serves on our Lifeway Student Ministry team and leads the effort in Explore the Bible. If you're not familiar with Explore the Bible, it is a book-by-book curriculum that we do for student ministries.
You can probably find out the best one that we do.
Yes. Biased. But you can find out more about that at lifeway.com/explorethebible if you are unfamiliar, and you can see a little bit about what Drew does for us. Does a great job leading that area for us every single week. But in Drew's other life,
second life
outside of Lifeway, is involved with a ministry called Game Church that we want to tell you about today. But we want to tell you about it because video games are a huge part of student ministry culture. You have students in your ministry that play a lot of games, that play games all the time. And it's a unique opportunity for you to minister and disciple them in a special way. So even if you are not a gamer, your students are involved in games. And in many ways, video games and the kind of games that are out right now and playing allow us to view culture through a different lens, so that they're a picture of our culture. And so it's important for you as a student ministry leader who must be engaged in knowing the culture that you're aware of this specific genre of culture. And so, Drew, just take a minute and tell us a little bit about what you guys do with Game Church, and then how that can be a resource to student pastors, and then we'll jump into games and student ministry in just a minute.
Sure. Yeah. So at Game Church, we go to these massive video game conventions and also nerd conventions. I don't mean that as a negative thing. Like today, that's a positive. Like people who are into video games, video game culture, like willingly embrace that term.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So those are two things. There's a game convention, like group of game conventions, and then there's a group of just nerd conventions.
Well, which you might call Comic Cons, those sorts of things. Those would be considered nerd conventions, or I'm calling them that, and I don't think anyone would take offense to that. But
we'll find out.
But yeah, maybe. So we go to these conventions and we set up a booth and we tell people, Jesus loves you, have some free stuff. It really is that simple. So we have these gamer Bibles, and it's got this Victorian-looking Jesus with an Xbox 360 controller. We're going to update it to the PlayStation controller, I think, eventually.
Really? You're going to switch?
I think maybe. There's more people. It's all about the culture. So where the culture's moving, so more people playing PlayStation.
Is that like a factual statement?
Yes, it is.
So it's not just a statement of personal bias.
No, I'm just saying
there are more people that play PS4.
It's selling my quite stock a bit right now. More popular than Xbox One.
Really?
At the present, yeah. Yeah. But yeah, so anyway, the whole point of having this, we have this big banner with Jesus on it with the Xbox controller and these Bibles, these gamer Bibles, which is the Gospel of John with some gamer kind of commentary in it. With Jesus on it, the whole point is to grab people's attention to go like, why does Jesus have an Xbox controller? So then when they see that and think that's weird, they come over and ask us, and we say, Jesus loves you, have a Bible. We can't really preach to them in the middle of the show, because then we won't get invited back to these big game shows if we're having debates with people in the booth. What we're really doing is planting lots of seeds and hoping to connect people who are into games, into the game industry, to come alongside them and say, hey, you know, we're into games too. We think games are really fun. They're really unique, really creative, and also Jesus loves you. It's a really unique ministry. And my role with Game Church is that I edit their website. So we have a website where we review games and we write articles in thinking critically about games. And that site is very much the whole point of it is to lend credibility to the ministry, so that when people come up to the booth and then they go look at gamechurch.com, they see that the articles there like legitimately wrestle with games thoughtfully and carefully and critically. I tell our writers all the time, write as a Christian, but not to Christians. So I want our writers to write like they're writing, like, you know, their atheist buddy would read it and and get a sense like these guys understand video games. They understand how they work, and but also be challenged perhaps about something important in spirituality or ethics or something that would be a roundabout way to have a more meaningful conversation.
Yeah. And I think that's super important as a discipling principle for you as student ministry leaders to teach your students. And that's speak the language of the culture and know the culture in order to move that conversation to the gospel. And so that's what Drew and his team, the team of people that work with Game Church, do at these conventions and do through their website. Mm-hmm. They know the world of games, and they can speak intelligently and learn. You heard him talking about learning credibility on that in that platform, to be able to use that credibility to then point to something else that we know as much more important, as an eternally important. But having that game conversation and being willing to step into a – we're having a coughing attack right now, so it's okay. We'll recognize it.
I was trying to.
You know what's awesome is that anytime like – you guys have had this happen in church or some other thing before. When you try to suppress the cough, mm-hmm. it just makes it.
Yep. Or you try to just gently clear your throat and it just doesn't happen. And jump. You end up having to just turn around and going. Yeah.
It happens like if you're preaching too. It can you feel that tickle in your throat. Anyway, back to this. That whole idea of having a platform that you are knowledgeable about and can earn credibility with in order to speak into someone's life that would probably be really closed off to the gospel if you just walked up to that person and said, hey, I want to tell you this. Now, there is a time for us to do that, but it's very Paul-esque to go into a situation and observe what's around you and observe the culture and then use the culture as a way to point people to Jesus. And that's what Drew and the team with Game Church do. And ultimately, that's what you're doing as a disciple maker of students, is to help them understand their culture, to help them see their lives as a part of this world. You've heard the phrase all the time. You've used it all the time. We're in this world, but not of it. Well, in this world means that we take pieces of the culture and make ourselves well-versed in those areas so that we can draw a straight line to the gospel and talk about Jesus and our story as it relates to the culture. Culture is not bad. And I think a lot of times in church circles, we hear the word culture and we think, ooh, culture is evil.
Yeah.
Well, no, there are a lot of beautiful things about culture, and there are a lot of redeemable things about culture. Even in our culture today, where it seems like our world is on fire, there are a lot of things that are redeemable and beautiful in our culture, and we need to learn how to use those. And so with that, let's move to how you as a student ministry leader can plug into this area and can be knowledgeable about video games. Because here's the reality. Here's why this matters to you. And we said it at the very top of the show, is that your students are playing video games. Video games are no longer for the weird, outcast, antisocial people. Everybody plays video games. They're adults. Yes, girls play video games. Mm-hmm. The guys in your ministry play. It's not one segment of person that plays anymore. Video games has become a cross-cultural phenomenon.
Yep.
And so you need to be aware of this. We could even call it a subculture in your ministry, and you need to be able to speak into it as a student ministry leader.
Yeah, regardless of your background and your own history with games, I think there's you as the student ministry leader are probably on a wide spectrum of engagement with these kind of games. So you may be the person that has never played a game and has never seen any value, and you just feel like, you know, I've heard a lot of people say, man, that's just a lazy culture, you know, get out, you know, go throw a ball around, go get on your bike, go do something, don't be stuck inside, which is a stereotype. It may be true of some. It's not true of all by any means, and that just means you haven't spent any time looking into that culture and how that engages, how those games, you know, impact your students. Then there's kind of a middle ground, which maybe I would be in, growing up enjoying first-person shooters, games like that. Last night, downloading a little Pokemon Go and capturing my first Pokemon.
Yes.
Yes.
So I will try to sell my wife on my ongoing engagement with Pokemon Go.
Well, it's an it's you could sell it as an exercise tool.
See?
You've got to get out there and find them. Well, you got to catch them all.
I am running a race soon, so I wonder if there will be other runners and bikers out there that are going to be
– with their phones.
Yeah. Capturing each other's Pokemon.
That's the thing with that game though. Like, as far as I know, I downloaded it last night as well because at the recording of this podcast, it has been out just a few days and has exploded onto the scene. And yep. So in an effort to understand and know what the fuss is all about, I downloaded it. And as far as I know, like you have to have it open with the – like your phone on with the app open in order to – like it doesn't run in the background. So you have to have it open and look at your – you have to look through your screen into the world in order to be able to play it.
You're either in or you aren't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the – so anyway, there's that middle ground that's probably there. You know, some – you have some apps on your phone. You play some games. You know, every once in a while you'll get together with some people and, you know, play around. And then there are others that – that you know, put them in the category of gamer. They are looking at all the newest, you know, releases, playing all the latest games, and they're understanding that culture. I think it is hugely important for you, no matter where you are on that spectrum, to understand that, I think Ben called it earlier, that subculture mm-hmm. of gaming that's going on in your student ministry, because you need to know how to reach them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You need to know how to articulate to that student, hey, this shows me that you're gifted here, and this is something you could use for the kingdom. You know, mm-hmm. this is what this tells me about you. And then even beyond that, just like Game Church is going to these conferences and reaching out to those people, your students too can be missional in their engagement and all those things. So
yep.
I think this is a really big deal that's probably neglected more often than not by student leaders.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I often say to pastors, student pastors, you should care about games because people care about games.
Yeah.
And we live in a culture where is an old statistic, but it's probably greater now. But a few years ago, it was 183 million Americans, which is almost two-thirds of our country, play video games for an hour a day.
Wow.
So it's the majority culture.
And there's no – you mentioned that was an old stat. There's nothing in me that would say that it has decreased.
Right.
Yeah. I would think, you know, if it's a few years old, that number would have at least stayed.
I mean, Pokemon Go alone bumped it up.
That's
a few notches.
So two-thirds of our country play video games for at least an hour a day.
Yes, close to that, yeah. Yeah, and so it's a huge culture. So to just say, or just to label it as whatever, like you said earlier, John Paul, as like this is a lazy thing to do, or this is a waste of time, or whatever, is cheap. I think
yeah.
It's a cheap response. And you know, if we really love people, we make a genuine effort to be curious about what they're into. I mean, like we're all married here. Like if your wife's into something, you can't just be like, well, that's dumb. I mean, if you really want to care for her and
if
show her,
if you would like to continue being married,
right? If you want to yeah. show her that you care about her, you go, okay, well, tell me about that. What's that about? You know, and I think that's one of the simplest things student pastors can do to begin to engage this culture is go to your student, the biggest nerd in your student ministry, and I say that with love. I love nerds, so I can say that.
Do you have the T-shirt that says it?
I don't, but I need to get one. I do have a shirt that says Jesus Loves Gamers.
It's true.
But I do have that
indeed.
One.
Indeed.
Factual statement.
Yeah. But, you know, go to that guy who's just super into games and be like, what's this about? Why do you like this? Because you're going to find some good things there. You're probably going to find some things that are not helpful. You know, I think there's two theological concepts that are really helpful in understanding the value / the potential things we should be concerned about with games, and that's the idea of the image of God in us, and then also this idea of our sin nature. So the Bible says that we're all created in the image of God, and people who make games are created in the image of God. People who play games are created in the image of God. So you're going to have experiences in them that reflect God's glory. Being made in the image of God means that on some level every person reflects His glory, whether they actively recognize it or not. But then the flip side of that is that we're all broken. that sin has wrecked us, that it's messed us up from the inside out. And so that's going to show up in games. And so games that celebrate brokenness, there should be some concern among students, pastors about those moments. Sometimes games have brokenness in them, but they're not celebrating it. They're just showing like, look, there's injustice in the world. And so that's something important to recognize as well. I think because of that, of the imago Dei, of being created in the image of God, we should expect to see some truth, some beauty, some goodness, glimpses of the gospel even in video games. And if you can help your students recognize those things and then begin to think about how they can use that missionally in their schools and in their sports teams and athletics and you know, clubs and things that they do where they're hanging out with other friends that are into video games, like there's an immediate interest and connection they can make, and then a spiritual connection too that they can make.
Yeah. So in just a minute, I want you to give an example of a game that you've played maybe recently or researched recently that would give a picture of the gospel, some aspect of the gospel. Just as I'm gonna give you just a few seconds to think about it, because sure. I know that's an on the spot thing. But something that Drew said that I think is really, really important is asking why. You don't have to play games to be a really effective youth pastor, but in order for you to disciple all kinds of students, discipleship is not a conveyor belt where it fits the same for every single person and every single person has the same experiences and likes and all those kinds of things. It takes a customized approach, and part of that customization is you as a student ministry leader maybe stepping outside of some of the things that you're familiar with or that you spend all of your time doing and learning about another subculture of your ministry. And you have many subcultures in your ministry. This is just one that we're talking about. And so being able to sit down with that student and say, and tell me about this game that you've been playing, and actually listen and actually like digest the words that they're saying and ask follow-up mm-hmm. questions. Man, what about that? You heard Drew talk about it. What about that game keeps you coming back? Like, what do you love about it? And it can really give you a window into their heart and maybe some things mm-hmm. that they're experiencing or that they're dealing with or that they like.
And I would say, too, like, ask that question genuinely without an agenda. Like, I'm asking you this not because I want to ask the follow-up question of
– That's a good word.
Like, what's wrong with you?
Yeah. Right. For understanding.
Right. Not always a diagnose.
Right. Yeah.
Diagnosing of the person.
Yeah. So that they really feel like, no, I'm really curious about the thing that you're into because I care about you.
Yeah.
You know, and I want to help you pursue Jesus.
As you answer the question that Ben posed to you, hopefully I'm not going to overcomplicate the question. But I'd like you to also answer that in a way that you can help student pastors not, as they see those elements of games and try to explain that to a student, how they should interact, how a Christian worldview should dictate that behavior and engagement.
Sure.
How do they also not over-spiritualize those things? Because I think there may be, for somebody that's not familiar with games, could try way, way too hard and over-spiritualize it, which isn't healthy either.
I think that's a great point because like with what you do with Game Church, it's not this colossal Jesus juke that you do at, hey, if you like Overwatch, then this is Jesus to you. Like, it's not.
Yeah. Then you'll also like the Trinity.
Yeah, exactly.
Like what?
Like if you go into – this is not – like you walk into a bookstore sometimes and like finding Jesus in Harry Potter. Like this is not that.
Sure.
Okay. This is about cultural engagement is the phrase that you used earlier that we've kind of talked around. So I think that's super important, John Paul, that is known, that it's – we're not just trying to Jesus juke here.
Yeah, right. Yeah, and I think the gospel is the – it's the greatest story ever told. It's the meta-narrative. Like, the gospel is not just the meta-narrative. When I say meta-narrative, I just mean the big picture story. The gospel is not just the big picture story of the Bible. It's the big picture story of the universe. And so we're going to see glimpses of the gospel all over culture, movies, films, movies and films are the same thing. books.
Some could argue, though.
Short that films, that, yeah. Long movies.
That a movie would be like a – like the Avengers would be a movie.
Okay. But I get what you mean.
A film would be
– would be like Spotlight or something.
Something that's really in a foreign language that is really serious.
Yeah.
And has depth and meaning.
That would may even be called a foreign film.
Yeah, like, I guess I've never seen one. That's a part of subculture that I need to engage with maybe
funny.
A little
well,
more.
After this,
they
we'll
give
talk
awards
about,
for those.
After this, we'll talk about some foreign films you should watch. But my point was simply that we don't have to force Jesus into the conversation. If the gospel really is the big picture story of the universe,
yeah.
then that's he's good. There. We just have to acknowledge it in a way that's that doesn't feel like we're Jesus juking, but feels like we're actually engaging games on their terms.
Yeah.
So when you look at a game or a film or whatever, like you need to ask the question, what is this film trying to say? And what is, you know, where is there goodness and truth and beauty in it? Where is there some brokenness? Is that brokenness being celebrated? You know, ask those kind of questions, and then you help people engage it more thoughtfully without, like, you know, doing a U-turn to Jesus that just feels like a sleazy, you know, preacher trick, you know.
Yeah, and I want we're going to get to this in just a minute in helping you equip parents in this video game conversation, but I want to capture one thing that has come up a few times now, and then we've given you a lot of time on this question, so it should be like a home run. But I want to capture this one thing. So if you have parents in your ministry, maybe you do a parent ministry meeting around this idea of helping them understand video games and things like that. The question of, does it celebrate the brokenness in the world, or does it celebrate sin? I think it's a really healthy question. If parents are asking you, like, my kids are playing these games, what do I do? How do I know which is a good game or a healthy game for them to play and which one is not? Like, that line is so blurred because there's so much content in all of these. I think one question that you can put in this filter of, should my kid play this game or not, is that question. What is the game celebrating? Is it celebrating this brokenness or not? I think is a good question. We'll talk more about the parent component in just a minute. But a game recently that you've seen that's kind of a picture of the gospel.
Yeah. So there, you know, we're kind of looking at this all the time at Game Church. So there's so many I could think of, but I'll mention two. I know I'm breaking the rules here, but I'll mention two really.
That's
quick.
Fine.
Because one is one that people won't have played, and then one is that one everyone will have heard of. So Overwatch is kind of the big game now, one of the big games out right now. And I think there's actually a glimpse of the gospel in that game, in the sense that it's designed very much to be inclusive, to make people feel like anyone can play it and have fun, which I think is a gospel-y thing, you know. It's
the community.
This may sound like I'm Jesus joking a little bit, but there's this culture in video games of, like, especially with shooters. John Paul, you talked about, like, you used to be into Call of Duty and some of those things,
yeah.
Some of those types of shooters.
Well, I'll take a headshot right
now. They can be really hard to get into because people are so good at them, and you go in, if you haven't played in the last couple months, you go in and just get destroyed.
There can be a really we don't need to go down this vein, but there can be a really hurtful elitist culture.
Yes.
Inside of video games.
Yes, yes, and that's kind of what I was trying to hint at. And that seemed – Overwatch has specifically designed itself to fight against that culture, to say, no, like, we want people who are not so good – to have a place at the table, and so they've designed certain characters that are just easier to use, and you don't have to be really have really good, like, dexterity and reflexes and things to play them and have fun.
Ooh, that sounds like one I could excel in.
Yeah, and so
you got
just
them slow thumbs,
slow reflexes, and poor dexterity.
yeah,
it's right up my alley. Yeah.
So yep. So you should play with me and Ben sometime.
Yes.
I just find that design really you know, refreshing, and I think there's a small picture, a small glimpse of the gospel there. We wrote an article on GameChurch.com recently. If you went to GameChurch.com and just looked at the top articles, you could find it about six games that illustrate grace on some level, and so that was one of them. We talked about how that game is gracious towards the player. It even encourages teamwork in some really helpful ways, and it'll tell you when you're not playing with teamwork, when the team's not balanced. It'll give you tips to say, like, here's how you could be a better teammate, you know.
And when you run up against a team that is actually using teamwork, you just get crushed.
Yeah.
So, like, it is a true – like, it is a team-structured game. It's not like a Call of Duty where you're on a team, but everybody's kind of on their own in the middle of this. It really is. Like, you have to work together.
Yeah. Yeah.
So the conversation is not – just to kind of reemphasize, it's not that this game illustrates specifically gospel community.
Right.
But the connection is that, you know, for a student that is a gamer, maybe there's a lot of ways to come at it. But, man, when you ask them, what brings you back to this game was one of the questions that you mentioned. Well, I love how inclusive it is. I love how – I mean, just anybody's in here, and I feel like all of my friends can join in, whatever. If that's how the conversation goes, then that is such an easy lead-in to – the call of God for his people to come to the table and feast, you know, that, you know, it's that same invitation. It's that same community. It's that same call to believers to go and make disciples and reach to the end of the earth, you know, to the ethnos. It's that same conversation that can come out of that, just the way that you value that, because it makes people feel included and, you know, you know, that whole understanding of community. I'm not going to hash the whole thing out. But that's an easy translation for that student that doesn't over-spiritualize what the game was intended to be.
Well, here's where I think video games – here's what I think they're teaching us about people that we already know. But it is just – it is a reinforcement of what I believe is lacking in a lot of our church culture today. And so used to video games, you plug it into your TV, you sit down and you play a one player, maybe two player game. And here comes the internet, right? And so now you begin to play more and more games online. And this is a really short history of games. But now to where every game just about is focusing you towards a communal environment, like you are playing. I mean, there's a reason why World of Warcraft has millions and millions and millions of subscribers, and the newest piece of that is going to release at the end of August, and there are going to be 11 million people in our world playing this game. And I think what we're seeing happen is one of the main reasons why students and people in general are playing video games is because it gives them a community.
Yep.
Like they are actual friends with people that they've met online. Yeah. Like they are developing friendships and relationships. And I play World of Warcraft. So full disclosure, I've played through the years, and there were people that I met through that game, and they ended up getting married, and they met in the game.
Yeah.
And so, like, and that's not an isolated event. People are developing relationships. Now, we could have all kind of discussion on whether or not that's healthy and for this couple, whatever. But the reality is video games are showing us how important community is. And I think how lacking community is maybe in our church culture.
Yep.
That people are forced to go outside of that to find what they would label as real community. So the students in your ministry, the last thing you want to do is insult their real community. They see it as their people.
Yeah, and there's some genuine things, like genuine connections being made there that you would be foolish as a student pastor to just throw in front of the bus to say that's not valuable, that's not good, whenever there's some good things happening there that, rather than being judged, should be leveraged for the kingdom, I think.
Yeah.
You know, that we would do well to leverage them for the kingdom and help students think about how they can be more thoughtful and more missional and the things that they're doing.
Yeah. You know? And if we are – and I'm willing to say this. If we are willing to embrace those things as real communities, then the question becomes, how can I train this student to be a witness for Christ in their community? Like, that's always been the student ministry conversation. But most mm-hmm. often what we say is – and I say that – is neighborhoods and your home and your school and your sports team. But yeah. here's the reality. You're equipping that student to be a witness for Jesus Christ in their community of real people mm-hmm. that exists inside a digital world.
Yep.
And that is – like, for some of you, that sounds super weird. Mm-hmm. But that is the place where we are today.
Yeah, it's similar to the way we kind of have – and this has changed. But a few years ago even, we had this – a lot of student pastors – not all student pastors by any means, but some student pastors and just people in the church in general had this kind of dismissive attitude towards social media. And now we're like, well, this is just our world.
Yeah.
Like, we've got to learn to engage it. And some are still, you know, like dismissive of it. But this is where we are. This is where our world is, and to just dismiss it outright, you know, I mean, you mentioned earlier about the Apostle Paul just being observant of culture. Like, when he's in Athens, he's not going like, oh man, like, everybody here is totally worthless. But he's paying attention to
yeah.
why they're so religious and why they're into these debates and things, so that when he gets to speak to them, he's paid attention. He knows what's going on. He has something to say that's engaging and thoughtful.
Yeah. And it gives him a platform of credibility,
yep.
just like you've said with the video game discussion. Mm-hmm. So as we talk about
– oh, I was going to mention one
yes.
more game and I didn't do it. Just a quick shout out for this other game, because I think it's a more meaningful game than Overwatch. There's a game called That Dragon Cancer that's about – it's based on a true story of a family's loss of their son to cancer. They lost their son to the dragon – cancer. That's mm-hmm. why it's called that. And anyway,
wow.
it's a really artistic, kind of interesting game, but it's an example of how games are going in more artistic directions, I think, and having meaningful stories. But that game is all about grace. You can't save their son, but you can, but it is hopeful, if that makes sense. Like, that game is a testimony to the hope that we have.
Hmm.
The people who made it are believers, and they don't force that, you know, to make the game all about that. But they do give a testimony in that game of their hope and how their hope in Christ was present, even
wow.
in the midst of their deepest, darkest grief. I think it's – anyway, I just want to mention something that's – because this is also an example of Christians getting out there and engaging culture and making a game
yeah.
that's meaningful and that people are talking about.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So as we talk, let's kind of shift to the equipping of parents in this conversation, because I think as a student ministry leader, that's one of the places where this topic mm-hmm. comes up most frequently. Because I would say there's probably a segment of student ministry leaders who aren't connected to video games, but you've at least heard the names of games in passing conversation. There's a large majority of parents who are clueless about this
mm-hmm.
and don't know what games are coming in and out of their houses.
Because
and
it wasn't part of their generation.
No.
Right.
Not at all. And so they're trying to figure out how to parent in this world where their students are talking to people online that may be around the world. And they're referring to them as a friend, and they're also trying to deal with this content issue, like what games are okay and what mm-hmm. games are not okay, and where is this line, and so let's try to give some tools to student pastors that they could equip parents with
yeah.
in this conversation. We mentioned one of them a moment ago, in regards to that parent discussion and just asking the questions. To them, asking the why questions.
Mm-hmm.
So let's move more into that in
sure.
equipping student pastors to then equip parents.
Yeah. I actually wrote a pamphlet for parents probably 3 or 4 years ago for a game church.
See, this sounds like the softball of all softballs, but we didn't even know that. So that's yeah, so where that's all, so where can they get it?
Yeah, if you go to gamechurch.com and just search for the name of it is called "So Your Kid's a Gamer." That's the name of the pamphlet.
Okay,
that's really cool.
The question: "So Your Kid's a Gamer," and we go through all kinds of. Here's what you need to be aware of that's going on in the industry. There's a whole section on it about violence, about should you be concerned about the violent content of games.
Okay.
And the answer to that is not easy to get to the bottom of, because there's been a lot of research on that in the last several years, and we can't find a really clear direct correlation between real-world violence and video game violence. It's clear that when people play violent games, it activates – the part of your brain that is activated when you do something violent, but that's also true when you watch something sad, right? It activates a part of your brain that – so
– yeah, because so your brain is taking in the information. So
right.
That,
so it doesn't really help us that much, but
– it doesn't mean you're going to turn out to be a murderer.
Right.
Probably the same thing as when you de-cleat somebody on the football field.
Sure.
It's violent and that part of your brain is activated.
Yeah. And they've talked about the same thing.
And it's fine.
When you watch violence on film, it's the same thing. When you see like Saving Private Ryan or something, I don't know, you know, where you see someone getting blown up. But that doesn't mean that we shouldn't care about, you know, and I think you need to know your student. You need to know what – try to get a sense of what sets them off on, you know, down an unhealthy path. Be thoughtful. Read up on what games are, what the content is.
Yeah.
So that, I mean, the games actually do a pretty good job of they're rated pretty well. The ESRB rates them based on, you know, violence, nudity, all those kinds of things. If they have those things, and those are going to be on the box.
Yeah.
There's information.
And they're not going to lie. Like those things are really in the game.
Yeah.
If it says it mm-hmm. on the box. So,
and that's something that's different now too, the nudity thing. When I was growing up, you never saw nudity in games.
It's more and more and more.
It's not that uncommon now.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's weird because it's digital. So
– yeah.
But it's not something that I want as a Christian that I want to take in. I don't want – that's not honoring to my wife for me to see those things. And I think student pastors would say the same. Your young men, especially the young men in your student ministry, don't need to be seeing those things. So challenge your parents just to know – you know,
and you can find that stuff out just through a Google search.
Yeah.
And you can know the content of – like if you see nudity on there and you can search and find out exactly what's going on, similar to how you would on a movie review that gives exactly what's happening in the movie so that you can be aware. So some of the tools for your parents, the pamphlet definitely over at Game Church on So Your Kid's a Gamer. And then – finding out why. I mean, we've constantly gone back to this, but a parent being willing to sit down and really listen and have a conversation with their kids about the video games and about what's happening and the people that are in the video games is an important one. And then the question that we mentioned earlier, what does the game celebrate? What is the message of the game? Those are all great tools that you can give a parent to have that conversation.
And you should not assume that your parents know how to have that conversation with their students in an effective way. Mm-hmm. It's just the same way that I've heard a lot of student pastors talking about how they have put together some presentations, you know, for a parent meeting or whatever, where they frame a conversation to teach their parents how to interact with their students on social media. Not on social media, but on a certain app, you know, that they may be using. Why is this beneficial? How is this dangerous? How should you be using this as a believer? What should you beware of in all of this? A lot of parents are a little bit timid and not understanding because in large part they feel like they're playing catch up all the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know what's out there. I don't know what my kid's engaged with, and it's like this constant like, oh, there's always something new. I don't know what to do with this. So some parents give up, you know, some parents just shut everything off, you know, some parents are very much on the defensive. So it is, I would say, student pastor, student ministry leader, it is one of your responsibilities to not only give them those tools, but don't just tell your parents, just go do a Google search. You'll find out everything you know.
Right.
Show them where to go find that stuff, and then give them a little bit of instruction in how to use that.
Mm-hmm. Yep, absolutely. And, you know, one thing that we didn't mention, too, about games, you know, we talked about violence earlier, and that's really not something that you're seeing a lot of articles nowadays on anymore. People just aren't talking about that problem, quote-unquote problem anymore in video games. Now the thing that people are talking about a lot is addiction.
Yeah.
This idea of getting so sucked into games that they're taking up, you know, cutting into like healthy real-world relationships and that kind of thing. So that's something that I think parents really need to engage in and not just step into that conversation going like, why are you playing those dumb games? You know, like why
– Yeah.
Get off the screen. Like have something more to say than that. Help them learn to cultivate boundaries and self-discipline.
Yeah.
We have to be able to say more than just quit.
And I think it's I think we need to begin seeing it as a legitimate activity too, because when we think about video games in terms of addiction, you can't always look at time with that, because I think like a parent or even us as student ministry leaders, is you would look at it and say, man, this kid spends 2 hours a night playing video games. This kid is addicted to video games. But if they spend 2 hours a night practicing baseball, we never talk about it.
Right.
And it's like this thing that's just okay. And
yeah. And then,
I've never
and
thought
then,
about it that way before.
And yeah. Then parents would say, well, you know, he's playing baseball, so he's with his teammates and he's developing relationships with them, which is good. And he's being physically active, which is good. But with games, you're being mentally active. And there's actually lots of studies about how they stimulate our brains. They help us with problem solving skills. They develop patience and perseverance. Games are actually really good for your brain, which is something we don't talk about a lot, but they are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that God created us physical creatures, that's a good thing.
Yeah.
And then also, when your kid's online playing, your student's playing online playing video games, he's with other people. He's not in the same room. It's different. But he's a lot of times he's with other people, like engaging and perhaps engaging with a missional purpose. You know,
right.
Which
we just live in a different world. Now, a different culture. This is really exploding. I mean, when you have video game competitions that take place on ESPN and people are watching it and there's stadiums full of people and they're winning, like these are these guys' jobs.
Yeah.
Like they make a living playing video games. In the last couple of years, we've had people begin to get scholarships to college because they're really good at games.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think just a recognition of kind of where we started this podcast of this isn't just some stupid activity. Like this is a legitimate thing that your students, and if you're having a conversation with parents, this is a legitimate thing that your kids are involved in. And while you may not play games alongside of them, and that's totally fine, you need to help them understand how to have that conversation and walk them through, again, understanding that subculture for the purpose of discipleship. And building relationships with those either kid that if they're your children or building relationships with those students in your ministry.
Yep, absolutely.
So we're going to wrap up there. And there's a lot more that we could talk about on this subject, and we might come back to it at another time. But we're going to wrap up and say thank you for listening to this week's episode of the Lifeway Student Ministry Podcast. Special thanks to Drew for being here and for the ministry that you guys are involved with Game Church. Remember to head over there and check out that pamphlet, So Your Kid's a Gamer.
Yeah.
It might help you minister to the parents in your ministry.
Can I mention one other thing about Game Church that could be really helpful for student pastors?
Yes.
And that is gamechurch.com/missions. If you go to gamechurch.com/missions, you can see about the mission trips that Game Church does. And you might even want to participate in one and go to one of these conventions and maybe even take a student with you who's really into video games. It would be an awesome like mission experience to have together to go to one of these conventions and tell people Jesus loves you.
There you go.
Maybe two students.
Yeah.
Just so it's not weird.
Yes.
Right.
Good.
Gosh. Yeah.
Yes. Excellent point.
Dude, you may want to change that on the website. Anyway, thanks for listening to the Lifeway Student Ministry Podcast. If you haven't taken 30 seconds to go to iTunes and leave us a positive rating and review, we would love for you to do that. And while you're there, hit that subscribe button. We would love to speak into your ears every week.
Hit it.
So we'll with that, we'll see you next time. Have a great week.